Amen, amen. So one of the key things that I'll go back to it, and Holy Ghost will help me with it. Deacon Shirley, and I just give praise to God, thank you for yielding to the Holy Ghost. That's right, that's right. And the reason I say that is sometimes we got a thing about, well, this is what we do. This is what we do. Right. Get to the word. Do the offering or whatever help you. But I commend you because you yielded to the Holy Ghost. That's right. And you did when you're afraid of anybody's face. I want to thank Minister Dolores for coming in the flow and just coming in and knowing. And I knew that we couldn't go any further, but she had the unction to pray it. I want to thank God for you yielding. What I'm trying to demonstrate is it's not anybody's show. It's the Holy Ghost. Each person here has a part in the service, whether it's by prayer, whether it's by intercession, or by yielding to the Holy Ghost. And guess what? We all get the benefit of it. We all get the benefit of it. And I just want to thank, and I want to be in a place where the Spirit of God is directed. Because where he's directing you is to a good place. Okay, so I'm going to cut to chase. Tonight's topic is serving God. Amen. The last time I was here, God had me share the lesson on loving God. And we went and we found out from the scripture what the scripture says about what it means to love God. And we knew it had nothing to do with Lucy bumps and Goosey bumps and all that other stuff. It had to do with what Jesus said, that if a man, if any person keeps my commandments, he said he it is that loves me. He just made it that simple. You don't have to go through all these gymnastics. Just know that you demonstrate your love for God by keeping his commandments. Amen. Period, the end. And so as we go on with that, it's interesting that when I got that title and the topic right behind, and he knows what he's doing because he knows I just go into a thing, but he brought this lesson to me. And he shared with me the topic is serving God. When I'm in church school as one of the facilitators, the only class I've been teaching and facilitating is growing up spiritually. And the first chapter of that book by Brother Hagin has this title, and it says locating yourself. Amen. Locating yourself. And that was the first step of really recognizing where you are spiritually. And it's the first step that we can recognize where we're at as far as when we talk about loving God and, in this case, serving God. I was going to do a whole little thing here, but I'm not going to press the time. What I am going to do is ask you to get our minds centered in is this. What does it mean to you? And I know y'all love questions because you sit up there and look at me and don't answer. Okay, so I want you to do that. This is an association. If I say black, you say white. It's this simple. So when I ask you, what does it mean to you to serve God? Don't get religious on me. Don't give me the first five books of the Bible. Would somebody just respond to me? What does it mean to you to serve God? I'll let Emmanuel go first.
Serving God to me means tuning into him every day, each day.
Give me a moment, sir. I'm going to get it on the tape. I was going to write it down on the TV. I was going to write it down, but I'm not going to have that time.
Thank you. Thank you. Serving God to me means tuning in, connecting with him. For me, it's in the morning and finding out which way you want to go.
That's serving God. Okay, anyone else? Please. Yeah, some people right up in here.
Making myself available to him.
Serving God.
Giving him my all.
Amen.
My personal relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Loving one another.
I think Ernestine wanted to share something. You know? You sure? Minister Dolores, did you have your hand up, or was it Deborah? Okay.
It kind of like said it, but for me, it's doing what he wants me to do, when he wants me to do, no matter what it is.
Amen. You have people on the side? Okay. Nobody has any thoughts about what it means to serve God. Please.
To also serve people according to the word.
Okay.
To serve God is to love God and serve people.
Mm-hmm. Do you want a decision?
For me, it's being in total submission to him and allowing him to lead and guide and direct my path daily.
Good answers. Somebody else had their hand up there. Why are you so why do you guys, it's okay.
I was just going to say, to serve God is to do what he wants us to do.
Could you put the mic up so we can hear you?
To line ourselves up with his word and serve him and others according to his word. Just be pleasing to him.
Okay. One of the things I want to just bring in is that if we all get on the same page, then we'll all be saying the same thing, right? And so there's nothing wrong. There are no right or wrong answers. That's just where you're at, and that's where you find out where you're at, and you can go to God and find out where you're going. Okay, and that's the whole point of that question. When Adam was in the garden, and he sinned, and he hid, what was the question that that God put to him? Adam, where are you? Now, I'm going to insert this. Is God omniscient? Yep. Yes. Knows everything. Right. Now, why would an omniscient God ask Adam where his geographic location is? He was locating him spiritually. He wanted Adam to recognize. And so that's the whole purpose of what we're talking about. When you ask a question, what it is kind of stirring up your mind and your spirit and trying to make an adjustment as far as your thoughts. Now, I'm going to declare this, and I like it because it's good. And my husband does it, but I'm going to do it my way. And this is this. You are all A students.
Amen.
All of you are A students. And you know why you're A students? Because you're filled with the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost teaches you all things and guides you into all truth. You are kings and priests unto God. And there are world overcomers. Okay, those are the kind of things that make you an A student.
That's right.
So the thing is we all come together and we thank God for that.
Yes,
now, another thing that came up, and I'm going this way so I can get over to the part where I believe the Lord wants. As I was preparing and meditating, going over this, the first lesson that I put before you was loving God. This one is serving God. So I'm wondering where God is going. In fact, I better take it back. I wasn't wondering. He told me where he's going. He said, you're doing refresher courses. Now, anybody know what a refresher course is? What is a refresher course? Yay, another question. And man, you'll give somebody else a chance. What's a refresher course, Gertrude? You wait till the Gertrude has it.
Recap what you was taught before to see if you have an understanding of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll make it easy for you because I have the definition and it is applicable to us. A refresher course is a short-term course, and its direction or it's aimed at recall and reinforcement of previously acquired knowledge and skills. Nothing that I said last time I was here and nothing that I'll say tonight is nothing that you never heard before. But God wants it brought back to your remembrance. In the book of Peter, in the second Peter, when he was sharing with the church globally, he said this, I'm putting these things, this is the second time I'm writing you this, and I'm writing this so that I can stir up your minds by remembrance. So he had already wrote to them about something, and he came back the second time to write to them about the same things. So there is a place for us to be refreshed and knowing the things that we have already learned and all the things that we have already acquired, okay? Now, I'm going to go on with this. That I am honored to stand before you because you are God's anointed, you are his kings and priests. And God loves you so much that he sent me to say these words to you. Amen. And that's the truth of that. Now, I was going to use the board, but we're not. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go a little fast forward on this point. The key, can anybody remember what the key word that was coming up through the Spirit? Well, the middle of the Spirit, and I'll give it to you so you don't have to guess. Worship. 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 Now, if I ask you what worship means, I know we'll get another ring, but what I want to do is go to the Word of God because that was part of the lesson of serving God. So if you please turn to Matthew, the 4th chapter, and we'll be reading through verses 1 through 8. And it's a very familiar portion of Scripture, very familiar. The temptation in the wilderness, we know all about that, right? You've heard about it, and it's always taken from we stand on the word, you say what is written, don't come up with anything new and cute, just say what God says, and we saw the effect of that. But as I was going over and studying it, one of the things that was highlighted to me in the area of serving God that you probably maybe had not looked at, but it was enlightened to me. And we'll get to it when we read. So Wendy, are you there? And I just want you to follow along with the translation that you have. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written," now he's flipping it on Jesus now, "it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Now here's our Lord's response. Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now this is the two verses, of the two, last two are the ones that we're going to come and do a little study on. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And the devil said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Say worship.
Worship.
Now Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Now, the thing I'm going to highlight is the word, we're talking about serving God, but I want you to understand what was being done or what was being, was transpiring between the enemy and our Lord. The first word that the enemy put to Jesus was the word, and I'm going to spell it because I am not a Greek scholar. P-R-O-S-K-Y-N-E-O, which I could say is proskino. It's 4352 in the Strong's Concordance. And when the devil was talking to Jesus, this is what he was requiring him. Now, we talk about, "I worship you, I worship you." This is what he was putting to Jesus. He wanted Jesus to kiss the ground, lie prostrate before him as a superior, to worship, to fall down and prostrate yourself, to adore on one's knees. Can you imagine? When you go a little deeper, you say, "Isn't that something?" As the kids would say, "What?" This is what the devil was bringing to our Lord. Jesus cool, though. Jesus cool, didn't say anything. He used the very same word going back on him, and he kept it where it's supposed to be. Jesus said to the devil, in essence, that "I will only kiss the ground. I will only prostrate before my God who is superior. I will only worship him. I will only fall down, and I will only prostrate myself to adore him on my knees." Now, doesn't that make more important than the worship? So when we're talking about worship, "Lord, I worship you," we are saying so much more than the W word. We're talking about what's going on within us. We're talking about not a dry land. That's what you got caught up in, Deacon Shirley, because you actually were venerating God. You were honoring him. You were submitting him. We were doing so. And so when you do that, God says, "Here I am in the midst of you. What you need, what you need, what you want." And that's what he was here to do for us today. Now, the other word that Jesus used, he said, "In him only." And I thought it interesting. He venerated and he put the devil in his place, but he also came back and added this. "Not only will I don't bow to you, but I'm only going to serve God." So with all that was going on, and remind you, Jesus was under pressure. He wasn't trip in the park, okay? It wasn't a little walk. He was hungry. He was tired. The desert don't have no air conditioning. Okay, he's got all this pressuring and coming down, and yet he said what it was written, and he kept his devotion open and alive to God. This is the part that I saw it so plainly demonstrated, that as we took the time to honor God, to worship him, to honor him, to submit to him, to defer to him. He was pleased for our devotion and came in and ministered to us. The other part that Jesus said, that him only you shall serve. Now that serve part is a menial task. He wasn't talking about anything high and lofty. Yes, your devotion and the heart of God, your heart toward God is to love him and to walk and to do what he says and all those other things you shared about. But the thing is that out of that service, out of that devotion comes our service. Out of that loving him in submission comes our service. Like our sister said, you serve people, you serve God. You do what he tells you to do. Okay, so the next thing, and I'm going to go fast forward because I said I have a lot of notes, but I don't want to bring it all out here. I just want to be able for you to get the statement of what it is to serve God. Jesus is always our example. Is that true?
Yes.
And as I said, he used the same word that the devil tried on him. The word proskynos, it speaks of the attitude or the motivation of the heart. So he's telling the devil, look, I'm not going that way. I'm doing it God's way. And the other word speaks of service, activity, or task assigned. So the basis of our service is having the proper attitude or motivation. We devote ourselves to God completely, and we offer our lives to serve him in any way he chooses to use us. That's true. That's true. Have you ever heard anyone say that someone has a servant's heart? You've heard that? Isn't it a pleasure? That's a good compliment, right? So what you're saying is that person has put himself in a position that he will do anything to help somebody else. He will do any, or she will do anything and be there anytime and won't pick and choose what they do and what they don't do. I'm going to give it, because my husband used to be the assistant to the junior host when he had them. And so this is some of the things that you would come across where the children, when they came to be the junior host, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, they had preferences. They didn't want to sit on the floor. They didn't want to sit to pastors. They didn't want to, and they had a lot of choices. But when you are serving God out of a heart of devotion, you're not picking and choosing what you do. Okay? God is the one that calls the shot. And so our position is we ask God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to do it? Do you want me there? If you don't want me there, I'm not there. But if you want me there, with your grace, I'll do it. Okay, so we're talking about the motivation of the heart. I want you to name something, we're talking about attitude, name something that you really enjoy doing. I'm not going to go there because everybody knows what I like to do. Or don't, or do you?
Yes. No.
Stop it. Okay, I'm going to pick on my husband. What is it that you really enjoy doing, William? Elder Floyd says he likes to read books and he likes to fish. He really enjoys that. Okay. I see somebody's hand up there. It's Will. Hey, Donovan. Just give us a moment to get back there.
Swimming.
You love swimming?
Yeah.
No, you enjoy swimming. Okay.
Well, that's, yeah, what enjoy.
You enjoy swimming.
Huh? Playing basketball.
You enjoy basketball. That's a good thing. Okay. Manuel?
I enjoy singing.
You enjoy singing. That's a good thing. Okay, so we got that on there. So because you enjoy doing these things, your attitude is what? You're happy. You're positive. I'm going swimming. And I know you love to preach the word. That's another thing. He loves to preach the word. He loves to share it. I love swimming, I love basketball, I enjoy all these things. And you got this big smile on your face because you're doing something, so your attitude is going to be expressed in what you're participating in, right? So let's go to the convo. So what is it that you really don't want to be bothered with? Elder Floyd.
Can you start with me again?
Oh, yeah. Start from the top.
I got to put on the thing.
They want to hear you, hon.
Okay. I got to think about this.
What I'm trying to demonstrate is with the attitude.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I one thing I really don't like is talking on phones.
No, he doesn't.
I don't like talking on phones.
No, he doesn't. Okay. Is anybody else going to be transparent?
Brave? Okay.
Minister Dolores, thank you.
I do not like repeating myself.
You do not like repeating yourself, okay? So the thing I'm just citing is that it's all about your mindset and your attitude, okay? Because when you like to do something, it's let's go, let's go. And when something comes that you don't want to be bothered with, you get body language. You get my husband puffed up. You get all these kind of things. So we're talking about an attitude. I remember with our sons, we have three children. And it's interesting because it was a marked difference between when you gave them a task, doing the same thing. The older one, go wash the dishes or do the kitchen. And it got done. The quality may not have been the best, but it got done. And then you had the middle one, or the he is the middle because Shonda is the youngest. But then you had the middle one, and you would get go in there, and it would be spit, polished, clean. Okay? And so his attitude toward doing the task was represented in his work. So you saw that he didn't have a problem doing the work because of his attitude. And another thing, here goes Deacon Shirley's story. When we first came to RLCC, and I don't know if you ever remember it, because I know I said it one time many, many years ago. Shonda was like 18 months, 2 years old. And at that time, the nursery had the policy that you had to serve once a month if you brought your child to the nursery. And at that point, RLCC, and it still is, it was hot and popping. You didn't know what was going to be happening in the service. You go there, people back. We come from a time where people were standing outside the doors to get in, and that's without a guest speaker. So the thing is that here we go. We're coming up on the bus because we didn't have a car. We got our three children. We got to put Shonda in, and then you find out that you have to serve. Now, you know what happened last week and what Pastor Sarah did and how the Holy Ghost this and that, and so you're saying, mm-mm, I don't want to be here, and it showed itself in your attitude. Bless his heart, he didn't have that problem. He always had a good attitude about being in the nursery. But the thing was, what turned around for me is one day when I came to sign in to serve, she wasn't a deacon, she was a volunteer. And if anybody knows my personality, back then it was not really nice. So any event, I came in, and out of her unrenewed mind, I said something, and my dear sweet sister just looked up at me. And she said, sister, it is a privilege to serve the Lord. And that gave me a moment to think. Had to change my attitude. Because when you're serving those kids, or you're serving in any capacity, you are actually serving the Lord. Okay. Now, when we say, and we did it tonight, when we say to the Lord, I worship you, what are we really saying? It shouldn't be just something that we go through the motions, but when we lift our hands as we did then, we say, Lord, I bless you. Based on what Jesus was saying, the heart of what we're saying is, Lord, I bow my life and I bow everything about me to you. There is no other God for you but me. I respect you. I pay homage to you. I worship you. I adore you. I honor you. And you only I will serve. So out of that heart of devotion, we serve God. Worship should always precede service. Reverence should always precede service. Obedience has to precede service. So how do we, God's people, serve an almighty, all-powerful, omniscient, eternal God, who, by the way, has no needs? You know, if it was a matter of you needed a lift and I had a car, I'd give you a lift. If you needed money, I got $5 again. How do you serve somebody who doesn't have any needs? Now, do you recall when, well, at least I do, when I was in school, they gave an exercise and they taught us how to do an effective book report or to do a news story. And there were six components that were involved. Six components involved of writing that. And the status was this. Who, what, when, where, how, and why. And just as God has given us his view on what constitutes walking in the God kind of love, he also gives us specifics in his word regarding our service. You want to hear them? Yes. Okay, well, let's go to the first one. And you can follow along or you can write it down. First of all, who are we to worship? It's been a resounding yes, God. Chapter and verse. You had it already when Jesus said it. Matthew 4:10. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. That's Jesus. And then in the Old Testament, Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 4. And God spoke all these words, and that's to Moses to speak to the Hebrews. And he said that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them. Remember that part of worship? It calls by bowing down, bending the knee. Nor serve them, because I am the Lord your God. That's who we worship. So as we're serving, what do we serve? Our sister gave a good insight here that we serve one another. And according to 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter and the 5th verse, the apostle Peter says this, that we, the church, are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. And through the mediation of Jesus Christ, we offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. And that's what we were doing this evening. We were offering up spiritual sacrifices. Now, we serve God in three areas. And if you've probably heard it before, but it's pertinent here. Time, talent, and our treasure. The scripture in, it's Luke, the 8th chapter and the 3rd verse. It's a narrative that it says this, that soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, 12 disciples. Also, and this is a good thing because I got insight, it wasn't just the disciples traveling with him. There were also women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, and they named them. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. So here we got ongoing road ministry, and women were traveling with him, and they were giving of their substance to serve God and supporting that ministry. Now here's a good one. You're going to like this. When do you serve? Okay, we're going to find out about that. Let's just go to the Word of God. Okay, when do you serve? And I put that time restraints. Let's see. Oh, I'm going to find it. So this is a good one. Thank you, Lord. That's finished. I told you I had another notes. Okay. Okay, thank you, Lord. Okay. I'll be with you. When do you serve? It's here. And I have the scripture for it. This is what happens when you have, yes, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We're going to refer back to Revelation, 7th chapter, and the 15th verse. And this scenario was John, who was present in heaven, and one of the elders came to him and asked him, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And John answered him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, now get the scenario. They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Day and night is always a reference for us because there's no day and night in heaven. He's giving you a frame of reference. So there's ongoing. So our service is ongoing. In Psalm 134:1, the psalmist says, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. The servants of the Lord were there at night. When everybody was in their bed and the temple doors were closed, they still had duties that they had to exercise, so they were there. Luke, the second chapter in the 37th verse. Anna, she was a prophetess who was also in the temple where Jesus came in. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years, and she lived as a widow to the age of 84. Now watch this commentary. She never left the temple. Never. You imagine that? Day and night, she was there, and she worshiped, serving God with fasting and prayer. Day and night, people, are a part of God's normal. Adjust yourself accordingly. Anything, and I'll give you a little insight. Most of the time, God tells you to do something or ask something of you. It's not convenient. It's not convenient. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you something. But that's how God, and because there's a process that he's working through that service. Because most of the time, you're talking about serve, that means you have to defer to somebody else. You have to defer. You have to put yourself in the back and say, well, this is what is needed for you, so I'll give you the front seat or the preference to do it. So this whole thing about time, anytime you had a situation, God knows every, and I got this, as Pastor said, a pet peeve. This is my pet peeve. I don't like people to tell me they're busy. Everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. You don't have to have children not to be busy. Amen. You don't have to be married not to be busy. Okay, you could be living in a house by yourself, but there's things and time constraints, whether you have to go to work, whether you're involved in the ministry. Everybody's got something to do. However, as my sister had shared about you coming before the Lord and you asking him, where should I be today? What should I know? You know where you got to go to work. He knows you got to be there at 8 o'clock. But the bottom line is God is not a hard taskmaster. Just ask him what he wants you to do. Therefore, you are doing it as a service and a serving to him as opposed to an obligation. Okay, you're doing something and you got your faith like this. Okay, as opposed to I'm going shopping and you're shying like this. Okay, so this is the part I want to do as far as time constraints. We got who, what, when, and where. Let me get this. Where do you serve? I like this one because it's like me. It just got right to the point. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse. And Solomon says this, whatever your hand finds to do, do it. And that's all it is. Whatever is presented to you, when you have these opportunities after Friday night, you have a whole crew of people that help clean, do the toilets or do the pastor's office or do the windows or whatever, just take the opportunity to avail yourself to serve. If they put out a notification for volunteers, ask God. You don't have to be everywhere in every place, but you can always ask God where I'm supposed to be. And as I said, I'm just going to say it, it's going to cost you something. It may cost you sleep, it may cost you money, but the thing is, if you're doing what God told you to do, you'll be rewarded. Okay? The other one would be why you serve. That speaks of motivation. And so in Romans, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, this is what the Apostle Paul says and exhorts. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And Jesus, again, in John 14, 21, those who accept my commandments and obey them, that's the motivation, the love, and obey them are the ones who love me, and because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. So I'm going to close it down here with this last thing. Jesus, again, is always our example. Anytime that I want to go to the Word, I'm always going to find out what Jesus do. Did Jesus set the precedent? Was it something that Jesus did? Because Jesus was always right. The Apostle Paul wasn't always right. Peter wasn't always right. All those who are used of God are always, but Jesus is always right. So what we want to do is come before him. So if you'll turn to John, the 13th chapter, And this is an account of right before the Lord's Supper. And this is giving us the greatest illustration of servitude, and it was done by our Lord. John, the 13th chapter, starting in verse 1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave the world and return to his Father. He loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, he took off his robe, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. And when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." Drop down to verse 12. After washing their feet, Jesus put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher. You call me Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." And this is the clue. "I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." And in saying all that, if you understand about the culture, washing people's feet or being the person that got to wash people's feet was not a coveted position. They had open-toed sandals. They didn't have any paved roads. You got dust, and they, who knows what they may have stepped in. But the person who was assigned that lot, it was a humble position, because you had to get down on your knees. You had, and it wasn't just a splashdown. You washed their feet. So when Jesus did that, he was really doing a job on their feet. He was cleaning their feet. And he was doing that most menial task to set them in a position to let them know that if you want to be great in my kingdom, you must learn to serve one another. Out of devotion to God, he served them in the most menial task and set an example for them. We have the greatest example in serving God acceptably in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the only standard that we ascribe to. He has shown us how to serve God unconditionally, without compromise, and without preference. Minister Lewis back in the day would give this charge. Remember back in the day we all get together and we get in the sanctuary and we get around and we hold hands and he would assign someone to pray and we would pray over the activities of the ministry that day. And I always liked how he would go, and he would always close this way. He would say, "Let's go forth and serve with excellence." That's my exhortation to you. Could you please bow your heads and take a moment? I'm asking you just to reflect and hear. I know I gave a lot of information, but the Holy Ghost speaks. I may not have been the clearest speaker, but he always speaks, and he makes his word known. It could just be one word. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you personally about your service to God. You may have to request the CD so that you can meditate on what the Spirit of God is saying to you. It may just be one thing, but you need to meditate on it, because for God, what God has called this church to do, a servant's heart has to be in place. A servant's heart must be in place. He cannot have people who will not worship him, who will not honor him, who will not, in other words, they are totally devoted to him and serving him only.